All right, you guys, I am currently struggling with a pinched nerve in my neck, and if you have ever had one, you know the pain. So I am feeling super thankful for today's sponsor, Tenassi. Tenassi's CBD CBDA is 2 times better than CBD alone and better than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. It helps soothe and relieve my aches and pains, like my pinched nerve, and it's great for sleep and anxiety, so I put it on right before bed. Tenassi was discovered by a team of chemists and biologists at Middle Tennessee State University, and 5% of all revenue is given back to the university partner for ongoing research. It is THC-free and comes in a range of products. I love the topicals, but you can also choose from soft gels, gummies, and tinctures. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Try Tenassi for 30 days, and if you don't love it, you get a full refund. Go to Tenassi.com and use code MOM to get 25% off at checkout. That's TANASI.com to get 25% off your first order with promo code MOM. Hi, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast. I'm your host, Suzanne, of My Kind of Sweet and the Sober Mom Life on Instagram. If you are a mama who has questioned your relationship with alcohol at times, if you're wondering if maybe it's making motherhood harder, this is for you. I will be having candid, honest, funny conversations with other moms who have also thought, maybe motherhood is better without alcohol. Is it possible? We'll chat and we'll talk about all things sobriety and how we've found freedom in sobriety. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. You don't have to either. And maybe life is brighter without alcohol. I hope you will join us on this journey, and I'm so excited to get started. Okay, we are here today with Megan from Soba Sistas, which that is the cutest name. I'm guessing you're out east.
Yes, Boston. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I don't know a whole lot of your story, which I'm excited to learn about it on here. I think your presence on Instagram is amazing. Your videos are always so just light and uplifting and fun. Like, you definitely show that side of sobriety. So I'm excited to hear how you started in all this. So before we talk about sobriety, let's go back. Let's do it. First, who you are, and then your drinking story. Let's get that out of the way, and then we'll talk about the good stuff.
Exactly. All right. So yeah, my name's Megan. So I live in Boston, and I work in healthcare. I work in an emergency room here in radiology, a couple overnights a week.
Oh, wow.
I love my job, and now it's just so funny because I thought that that's where I would just be forever. But now with sobriety, things have just opened up, and I feel like anything's possible now.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting to hear, like, you have a quote unquote real job. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people, like, this does influencing, like, takes on a life of its own, and then it becomes a job. So the fact that you're still doing that too is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess to go back, really? So I've been sober. It'll be 2 years in December.
Oh, nice.
Pretty much like drinking, I guess, in my younger years was quote unquote like normal for somebody in their 20s. You know, I could go days, weeks without drinking, and I wouldn't think about it in between those times. But I do have to say, when I did drink in my younger years, it wasn't good. I never could handle my alcohol, I guess you could say. I would black out. I would behave in ways that just wasn't me. And then I had my first son at 25. So I feel like that kind of slowed me down. I didn't really drink. I didn't go out.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So your son slowed you down in your drinking, rather than a lot of times moms, especially new moms in motherhood, like, their drinking does escalate because it's like, what the hell's going on? What is this? So yours slowed down.
At first, when my kids were little. I mean, they're 13 and 8 now, my boys. So this is, you know, going back 13, 14 years ago. And I was you know, pretty much a stay-at-home mom for a while. And it just, alcohol really wasn't a thing in my life. I hadn't discovered wine yet. And that was kind of when wine comes into the picture, everything changes. Yes.
When wine comes in, so does mommy wine culture.
Exactly. And that's kind of what happened. I got sucked in like around the time when my youngest son went to school at kindergarten. I started hanging out with moms in the town, getting invited to girls' night out and play dates that involved alcohol. I got invited once to a sledding play date at somebody's house. This is at 10 a.m. and they're pouring mimosas. I had no idea. I was like, okay, this is what we do. All right. So
also like sledding and drinking, that doesn't sound like a great, combo.
Exactly. And luckily it was more the kids that were
sledding.
And the moms were just hanging around having mimosas. So it didn't get out of control until really when I was going through my divorce in 2017. And then I completely turned to alcohol to self-medicate during that really hard time.
Like that's, and you look back at that and it's like, yeah, of course, that's understandable.
Right.
And that's not rare.
Exactly. And, you know, it's really just a natural human response to want to soothe our pain. And I was definitely in pain for sure. And I was scared. And my family all lives in New York, so I don't have any family around here. I had to start over, support myself, pay bills. It's like real life adult stuff, but I was married and I had, you know, stability, I guess you could say, when it came to that stuff. And so I remember just when we moved out, the kids and I was drinking wine basically every night that I wasn't working my hospital job, which was 3 overnights a week. So all those other nights, though, I was drinking to the point, you know, I would drink a bottle of wine pretty regularly and I would black out like most of the times. I would just not remember going to bed. I would end up like falling asleep crying. Like it made it all so much worse, like everything that I was going through. Yeah.
It's so interesting when you say it wasn't until you discovered wine. I think wine, we have been taught that wine is this fancy, elegant, some can be organic, like just this great drink. And it's like, no, it's the same poison, just in a different package. And so when we think about like, you know, blacking out and like all this stuff, you don't think of wine.
You don't. And it's funny.
You don't.
It's funny you say that about organic wine or healthy wine.
Yeah.
Because probably like 2 years before I got sober, I was selling organic, like organic healthy wine. I literally was.
Really? Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. It's just so funny now to like, I have all these photos I took with me holding like the organic wine and
yeah.
It's just so funny to me now.
But that's like still like Cameron Diaz has like her organic wine line. And it's like, that's still going on. It's like, well, yeah, sure. Organic poison. Okay.
Right. Alcohol is still, alcohol. It doesn't matter what form it is. If it's in vodka, if it's in whiskey, if it's in wine, at the end of the day, it's still all alcohol. But I think that's kind of why we get sucked into it as moms and women, because it's just wine and it's good for your heart. You know, they say, and so it's just made to be normal and that we deserve it after a hard day of like being a mom, and it's going to help us unwind. And I've totally bought into that for sure.
Yeah, of course.
Until my life was pretty crazy. I would say the 3 years after my divorce, I was emotionally just all over the place. I was just erratic kind of. And I know it was, had to do with the drinking, and I didn't even know where my baseline was. I couldn't heal properly from my divorce because I just kept numbing the pain and just pushing it down. And so I found myself at the end of 2020, just completely in a really deep depression. I had tried at this point to moderate, you know, make all the rules for a long time, which never worked, you know, only drinking on the weekends, drinking water in between, you know, just taking a break, but it would never last more than 3-4 days. And so, I definitely was depressed. You know, I called my brother one night and who I was, you know, really close with, he's out in the West Coast. And I said, I can see how people want to end their lives because that's just how I felt. Mm. I was so just I felt no like purpose or anything. And it was really bad at the end of 2020.
Yeah. And so, God, I'm sorry you went through that. What happened to make you say, okay, maybe there's another way?
Yep. So, you know, I'll never forget this night. And so it was the day after Christmas.
Okay.
I didn't have my kids, so that was a triggering time. And I didn't have family, so it wasn't like I was around all these people and everything. I was alone. And of course, what do I do when I was alone? I go get wine and I go get sushi. That was like my go-to evening. Yeah. And I sit on my couch in the corner. And so I drank a bottle of wine that night. And it usually wasn't more than that. I bought a bottle of wine. Like I didn't keep alcohol in my house. I just would, you know, that was my way of controlling it, I guess. So yeah. I remember passing out, you know, and waking up at 3 a.m., which was so typical. You know, you think you drink and then you sleep, but you don't. You pass out and then you're going to wake up a million times. So,
oh, yeah, it's not sleep.
No, definitely not. So I woke up at 3 a.m. like so sick already, head pounding. And just like I remember sitting up in my bed crying and being like, oh my God, somebody just give me a sign. Please help me. I cannot do this anymore. Like, what is wrong with me? I did it again, but this time was just different. I literally was like begging, like just somebody to help me. And at that time, I had never been to like a meeting or anything like that. I don't know.
So like an AA meeting you're talking about, right?
Okay. I had never been. And I had a friend through Instagram who he was in AA and I happened to live in Boston, although we had never met. We met through our Instagram food pages.
Okay.
And I had told him over the years about my drinking and that I wanted to stop. And so I was like, you know, let me look up some meetings in the area. And this was actually during COVID, so there weren't any in-person meetings.
Yeah.
So I had joined the Luckiest Club.
Oh, me too. Yes. During COVID. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And because I loved the We Are the Luckiest book.
Oh,
and
good.
So I love her. And I got to meet her in real life. So anyways, I had joined the Luckiest Club, but I never went to the meetings. I was paying for the monthly membership. So I'm like, let me go through my emails. Let me see if there's a meeting tomorrow. Let me just check it out. So I find it. But I also find at the same time, I won a scholarship to her sobriety course. I had applied one night.
Oh.
And I was like.
And so you just discovered that you won like on that night?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I was searching my emails.
Yes.
And it had come like a week prior, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And it was basically like, if you don't accept this by such and such date, then you're forfeiting it. The date was the next day.
Wow.
So it was a $750 course, which as a single mom, I didn't have that kind of money. I had applied and said, you know, I work in healthcare. I'm a single mom. I really just need help and I would love to win this. And I had forgot that I had applied for it. So I won it.
Yeah.
And that changed everything. Honestly, that opportunity that I was given changed it all. So then I call my little brother up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And now I'm crying like happy tears. And I'm like, I just won this thing and it's going to. And it did. It changed me because I started the next week. I started going to Zoom meetings. And that's when I realized like, oh my God, I'm not alone. I thought I was the only person, the only mom, woman that was struggling with alcohol. And when I went to these meetings, there was hundreds of people on them.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God. And so that's when everything just started.
And especially in COVID, like, of course you felt alone because first of all, we were alone, you know, and of course you felt like you were the only one because like our village is gone. You don't see anybody, like you're not out, you're not seeing anybody else's drinking habits. I think a lot of moms started drinking at home because of course, right? Like they were struggling and freaking out and scared. I totally understand like the feeling alone part. That's scary. Yeah.
Right. And I do have to say that my drinking definitely ramped up during COVID because they were like, everybody go out and stock up on your alcohol. And I bought like a handle of vodka. I don't even never drank vodka at home. I just thought I had to do it because they were like,
they were like toilet paper and alcohol. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And you know, that doing the homeschooling and like my older son has a learning disability. So I'm like, I literally gave up on the homeschooling. I was like, I don't even worry about it, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I noticed that my drinking did ramp up. I always said like, well, I don't drink in the morning, so I must not have a problem.
Right.
But to be honest, I was coming home after my overnight shifts, so stressed from doing, you know, working with COVID patients and everything.
Oh, man.
I was drinking in the morning when I got home from work. And really, that's just like the end just like escalated so fast for me. I felt like I was either drinking, recovering from drinking, or scheming my drinking. Like,
yeah,
how can I work this into like my kids' activities? And how can I, you know, I got to wait because I got to pick my kids up at 7. So I can't start drinking till after. Like,
yeah,
it was just like constant.
Yeah. Okay. So then you found the luckiest club and started going to those meetings. And then was that it? Then you kind of never looked back?
Basically. I mean,
yeah.
So I end up doing 100 days on my own. And okay. That was the longest I had gone like in forever. Yeah. I did feel different within like 2 weeks. I started to feel alive again, I was starting to journal in the morning and meditate, all things that I had learned in the sobriety course that mm-hmm. I was taking with Laura. And I just started implementing like a morning routine, a nighttime routine, trying to keep myself busy. So I did 100 days and then the course ended and I was kind of like, oh, what do I do now?
Right. Yeah.
At this point, I still didn't really connect. I didn't have like a sober buddy or like a friend or really anyone that I've talked to outside of anything. And so I ended up actually going on medication at this point, which I've talked about. I've recently opened up about using naltrexone and I was on that for like a few months, like okay. maybe 3 to 4 months.
So what is that? Because I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. So my psychologist, I had gotten a new psychologist, one who I was using another one for years. And I kept telling her like, I want to stop drinking. This is a problem. And I feel like she didn't know anything about it. So
yeah.
Nothing happened. So I got a new one. I started working with a psychiatrist. I started taking Wellbutrin for yeah. my depression. And she suggested at the time naltrexone. And I was like, oh, I don't need a medication to help me. And she's like, well, just go look it up. See if, you yeah. know, maybe it's not for you. And I'm like, okay. So I went home that night and I researched it. And I found out that basically it's a medication that helps you with cravings. It's not an abuse where you're going to get physically ill and throw up if you drink.
Yeah.
This one's different. It literally, you don't desire alcohol like you used to.
Okay.
And it literally works the first day that you take it.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's interesting for people who are really struggling to get out of that early sobriety state where you're still craving alcohol, because you do get out of that, you know, like that doesn't last forever. But when you're in that, talk to your doctor about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you found that it worked for you?
Yeah, it really did work for me really well. It's actually used a lot with Wellbutrin for people that either want to quit smoking, people with overeating, binge eating problems, and also with alcohol use disorder. And
wow.
It's just...
Wait, does it work with sugar?
Honestly, that's what
I need it for now.
Honestly, I feel like it does because it's all like
yeah.
that same, you know, like dopamine problem. Like, and
wow.
Yeah, probably would. And yeah, so it really did start working right away. And I now do recommend it to people. So I'm not someone that's like medication. I
right.
definitely, it's a last resort for me. But at this point, you know, I work in a hospital. I see what happens to people, young people, women especially, that are coming in with liver cirrhosis and
yeah.
alcoholic hepatitis. And I'm seeing, and it is just horrible. And so I'm like, you know what? The benefits outweigh the risks. I'm going to temporarily use this medication to help me.
Yeah.
And so I suggest it to all the ladies that come to my group. Like if I see them relapsing a lot or just not being able to get past like a week, I'm like,
right.
Just,
like if they can't get past those first hard weeks, how long mm-hmm. are you on it? Or is it because it's just a temporary thing?
Yeah. Like it's based probably whatever. I think you could
yeah.
be on it for a while. Like I was on it, maybe it was like 4 months.
Okay. Yeah. So to get past that like hard solo sobriety days, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I literally have been seeing people, ladies use it and then getting to, you know, 30, 60, 100 days. And
yeah.
then it's like taking the training wheels off.
Totally.
And then you go and it's, you know, it's not a quick fix. You still have to do the work. You
right.
still have to connect with people and go to therapy or, you know, do
yeah,
things.
Figure
it's not
out
just
what,
you take it and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Figure out what's under there to begin with. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, so that was like the next step in my journey was I did do that for a little while. And then in June of 2021, I started my Instagram page and I had no plans for it to become what it did.
Yeah.
But my page, I'd say, saved me. I don't think I would have gone this long had I not created my page. And then I started hosting meetings because I just felt like we needed them. And so in October of last year, so over a year ago, I started doing support meetings for women.
That's amazing.
It's just been incredible.
Yeah.
If I didn't have the meetings, I definitely wouldn't have stayed sober for sure.
Yeah. It's just incredible to see women creating these platforms and these groups and support groups and what they needed when they were getting sober that wasn't necessarily there. I mean, you had Laura's group, which is amazing. And I'm sure that inspired you to be like, oh yeah, this helps, because it does.
It really does. And I think I wanted something smaller because her groups were very large.
Yeah.
And I never got a chance to talk. Like, so I was like, I want a smaller, more intimate one. But I mean, now some of these meetings, like last night we had like 35 of us, which is pretty standard on the Wednesday night meeting. But everybody's just so close now, like the same, once you start coming, you keep coming.
And so it's just over Zoom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is it, do you have like, are you hosting it, or how do the meetings work? I'm always interested in this. I have a Facebook group and I haven't like delved into the meetings thing. People have been asking, but I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I never know what I'm doing. I just wait and see how things go. So yeah, what do you guys, do you host it? Do you have speakers, or how does that work?
So I host it. I've had speakers. I had some just people that I enjoyed, and they would come on and share something. But for the most part, it's just me hosting it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I do it like 3 times a week for an hour every week. And
wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It definitely can be a lot. But it's one of those things, you know, like, you know, when you have to go to the gym and you're like, oh, I don't want to go. And then you get there and you're like,
yes.
Oh, I'm so glad I did. Every time I'm like,
yes.
I'm so glad I came. Like, you guys are the best. And just seeing everybody like, come on. I've seen it so many times where people come to me on day one, they come to a meeting, they're crying, they're at their rock bottom. And then I see the transformation, and now they're like, I'm 54 days sober. And it's just like, oh God, this is so amazing.
Totally.
And I didn't know what I was doing. I just, you know, I did go and get my health coaching certification last year. And
okay. What is that?
I have my holistic health coaching certification. I always wanted to be a health coach, you know, even though I work in radiology. And so I went to, it's called IIN, the Institute of Integrated Nutrition. And I went and got that certification. So they do kind of teach you how to run groups.
Okay. Oh, cool. Look at what you've done in sobriety. Like, what? That's amazing.
It's unreal. It really is. Like, when I think about it, and then I'm just finishing my professional recovery coaching certification. I'm almost done with that. I just have to do the hands-on portion. Yeah. So I guess the meetings are really just, you know, I facilitate them. Everybody just will go around and they'll share their story. A woman last night celebrated 3 years sobriety. So we kind of had a party for her, and people sent her all these gifts from the group. And we sent her a big thing of flowers today. And it's just a great community. Yeah. It's amazing. We have a group chat on WhatsApp that has like 150 of us on it. That's going off all day long. Like, I can't even keep up.
Oh my God. Totally.
The things that have happened in this short time, like not even 2 years, my life is completely different. Yeah. I am completely different. I don't even know that girl that was in the end of 2020. Like, that is just so far away from where I am. The opportunities now, I work full time for the Sober Buddy app. I do all of their social media.
Oh, and that cool.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know I would do social media.
Yeah. Is that a sober tracking app, right? Like a tracking the days. Okay. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good tool for sure. I don't count days, but I know some people like are really into that day and checking that all the time. So that's amazing.
Yeah. Especially in the beginning. I kind of forget too. I'm like, oh, let me look. I don't know. Yeah. I lost track. But in the first 100 days, I definitely was like tracking it very closely.
Yeah. That's so cool. And so I can imagine like holidays are... How do you feel about holidays? Like, just giving some tips for like, if this is somebody's first holiday, first sober holiday, it's scary because, you know, drink and be merry and all that. And so what do you feel about sober holidays, and how has that been for you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, especially Christmas is what I have such a history with my drinking. So yeah, I mean, between having my that moment, which was when I drank on that Christmas, and then 2 years before that, you know, a couple of years before this, when I was going through my divorce, we went out as a family drinking, and then I proceeded to go out drinking that night, passed out at a friend's house, and almost missed Christmas morning with my kids opening their presents. They were 2 and 7. Oh. And I made it home in time, but I didn't get to put the presents under the tree. I was so hungover on the couch. I wasn't present. So yeah, so holidays now, I mean, I would say be prepared. Bring your own drinks wherever you're going. If you're going to like your mom's house or whatever, just bring your own. That's going to be the biggest thing. Put it in a fancy wine glass with ice so no one knows. And no one cares really if you think that they do, but they don't.
It's so true. You think that they do. I think that with everything, though, like I'm the starring role in my life. I'm not the starring role in anybody else's life. Like, they don't care about me.
Right.
You know,
they don't.
Like, and so, you could just let yourself off the hook with that. Like, no one cares. Maybe for the first 2 minutes, it might feel a little awkward, but then they're going to forget because then they'll be drinking. Okay. So then they'll forget.
Exactly. And we always talk about in the group to just play the tape forward. How do you want to feel the next morning?
Yeah.
How do you want to feel like later that night when you get home? You know, just think about it as one night, you know, not forever, not every Christmas now for the rest of our life or every Thanksgiving, just one. And you can do anything for one day.
Yeah. And kind of play it side by side. Like, think back to if you've had those moments of, you know, drinking too much Christmas Eve and then waking up late and forgetting to fill the stockings, or like, I've heard that story and like all of that, like think of that.
Yeah. I do that a lot. Even if I'm, you know, cause I still once in a while, it'll be like, I wonder if, you know, it'll creep in my mind. And I think about my worst hangover. I think about my most cringy moment. And I just like, just sit there and think about it and picture it in my mind. And then I'm like, okay, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. It'll end up there. I just can't drink.
And like you gave it how many chances, you know, like we tried that. We've tried that so many times and it generally ends the same. So I'm not going to be tricked anymore. Yep. So, you know, you were going through your hard time with your divorce, which I can't imagine like how hard that is. And you know that you were drinking to kind of numb those feelings. Have those now come up in sobriety?
I feel like I've worked through them all for the most part. They're much better. You know, I have done a lot of work since that day. I got a life coach who helps people that
really,
I never used a coach, but I had Google searched like people dealing with toxic relationships, which even though I was divorced, I was still dealing with a toxic relationship, and she helped me just gain confidence. I don't know. Like, we only met like 5 times, but I saw her like she, you know, had escaped or, you know, was thriving in life. And, came from a dark place, and I just saw that and was so like empowered. So, you know, I did that. And then I also took a divorce course through like a church that I don't even belong to, but I was just wanted to work through those feelings. So I did that. I had gotten a new therapist. So I feel like I've really worked through a lot of those feelings.
Yeah. It sounds like it. It sounds like you were like, let's see what's going on. And working through it.
Yeah. I just feel like a completely new person. You know, I had mood swings like all the time. I thought for sure, you know, I was Googling like and quit like a woman. She said she had diagnosed herself with borderline personality disorder.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. Cause I thought for sure I was bipolar. I was like Googling it, the symptoms. And I'm like, but I didn't have it. It really was the alcohol. Cause I can regulate my emotions so much better these days. And you don't realize how much alcohol is affecting you until you take it away and you get to what your normal is.
Totally. And it takes a while to even figure out what your normal is. Because like, if like most of us, you've been drinking since you're in high school, like you've never had to figure that out as an adult. Like, how do I self-soothe? I don't know. Like, you know, all that stuff, like figuring that out, I think takes a while. I always like, I get slammed sometimes for like making sobriety look easy and, you know, like all of this. And I'm like, well, sure, it's not all that. It's easier than life with alcohol. A sobriety is hard because you have to feel stuff and you have to figure out how to do that because a lot of us don't know that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I always try to put a positive spin on things and I try to make it look, I want the sober life to like look good from somebody who's still struggling. And I'm not saying it's all rainbows and sunshine, but
it's way better. That is not a lie when we say that it's way better. You know what I mean? So I'm like, and I'm like, well, if they're going to glamorize alcohol, then I'm going to glamorize sobriety because let me do that.
Right.
I think just a lot of people get caught off guard in early sobriety when they're like, well, because either it's that pink cloud of like everything's good or it's like, holy shit, like my anxiety's worse. I'm not sleeping as well, even though you weren't sleeping before. You were just passed out. But I think it just takes a while. Like it's, you got to give yourself some time and sobriety to figure it all out. And you still aren't going to figure it all out, but you'll get there.
You know, I always say too, like parenting is hard enough. Why make it harder by being hungover or being like hating yourself, you know, because the self-loathing that comes with it is like crippling.
Oh, and the guilt. Mm-hmm. I think that with moms too, like we put enough on ourselves and we have enough guilt. Like even when we're doing all we can, I mean, we're still going to screw up, which we should because that's fine because we're human. But like the guilt that also comes with drinking, like that extra layer of guilt, like you could just do away with that. Mm-hmm. Like that really just goes away then. You're not waking up guilty anymore or feeling guilty.
Right. Yeah. And that's what some people do say, like, well, why don't I feel better yet? And I'm like, you didn't do the damage overnight. So you got to think you just woke up for the last 3 years of your life telling yourself you suck before you even get out of bed. I mean, that was something I struggled with too, was like, I didn't even like myself. I didn't love myself. I couldn't even look in the mirror. So I started putting post-its everywhere, like telling myself
what did they say?
So they would say,
I want to know.
There's a couple. One of them was, and I learned these from the course I was taking, but one was, I am not my past. I am a person of dignity and honor. And I love that one because we're not defined by the worst things we've ever done. You know, the fact I almost missed Christmas morning 1 year doesn't define me as a mom.
Well, because that wasn't you. That was the alcohol.
Right.
Like, if not for the alcohol, you would not miss Christmas morning. That was the alcohol. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just loved it, you know, but it took a while. And then now I'm like, one day I remember just walking by the mirror and being like, oh, hey, I like you.
You're like, wait a second. You're cute.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Totally. It's totally like, the self-esteem comes back because you're who you truly are meant to be. And there's none of that noise and nonsense and distraction.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And even my relationship, you know, I've been in a relationship for the last like 4 years and that's completely changed. Like, oh gosh, there were so many nights we would go out to dinner and we would have the greatest time. I would spend so much time getting ready and try to look all pretty. But by the end of the night, I would be either crying, we'd get into the bed after this wonderful dinner and I would end up crying and falling asleep crying. I would pick a fight.
Yes, the fights.
From something that bothered me from a month ago. And I'd be like, you remember that time like a month ago? Like,
and he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I'd be like,
yeah. And then the fights, mm-hmm. the unnecessary fights, like those are just eliminated. I mean, my husband and I still fight, but it's not nearly as much. And it's also just like about real stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I can fight, I feel like, in a good way now. Like
where
before,
productive.
Yeah. I was afraid to fight because I was felt so crappy about myself that I would just like be like, okay, we'll pay whatever. But now I'm like, I'll stand up for myself so much more because I'm not questioning what I really did the night before. Because sometimes I would forget or I wouldn't remember half of our night. So I didn't want to fight about it because I'd be like, let's see. I don't even want what did I say?
And then you just feel like you're in the wrong no matter what. You're like, I was drinking. I must be wrong. And it's like, even if there are issues to work out, it's that not trusting yourself. And now you can trust yourself and your feelings and you know how you feel.
That's the best.
Oh, it is the best. So, and does he drink?
He does drink, but we don't live together. I just live here with my kids and I. And so when we're together, he doesn't really drink. Although it was funny, like last weekend we went out and he ordered a martini, and which I don't care because he doesn't really have a problem with it. But we ended up talking about alcohol the whole time, about like how the horrible the health benefits are, how horrible the health you know, issues are. And I'm like, I probably ruined his drink. But I mean, he's definitely, I feel like, more conscious now because I'm always subtly trying to be like, did you know that it's linked to seven different cancers and, you know, things like that. So yeah.
And like that's the thing. Like, we're sobriety influencers even like in our house. Because even with my husband, like he had never thought about stopping. Like, he's fine. Like, he'll have a couple beers when he golfs. But just hearing all this stuff that I say, and like, he's like, oh, wow. And then it is the thing. Once you know it, you can't unknow it. Mm-hmm. And like, alcohol in wellness spaces, that's like my big kick now. And he's like, can you believe that at Miraval? I'm like, yeah, I know. This is what I've been saying. You know, like, he's learning it as we go too. So I like that. It's just slowly, you know, it's sinking in.
Yeah, exactly. And so we can't make other, you know, I would never want him to feel like he can't drink in front of me or force it upon him. But it's nice when they are kind of just listening and maybe even looking at, you know, at their relationship and just changing their relationship a little bit, or second guessing that random drink, you know, that's like, is it worth it? No.
Yeah. And even just being mindful about what it does. Like, most people don't know what alcohol is and what it does.
Yeah. I didn't. I honestly, I had no idea it was like directly linked to like breast cancer and colon cancer. And like, even though I work in healthcare, I knew there was like liver cirrhosis and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But
like the extremes.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea, like in esophageal cancer, and years ago when I started learning about it, it would make it less enjoyable because then I was picturing the wine going down my esophagus and like burning it and causing cancer.
Oh my God, yeah. Okay, you guys, there's a visual for you right there. If you are like struggling to just like get those cravings gone and the witching hour, and you're like, God, I just want that glass of wine. If you're romanticizing wine, here's what you think about. Think about just like when we see cigarettes and we think of like black lungs. When you see wine, think about it burning down your throat. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, because your lining, your esophagus lining is so delicate. And so you're putting ethanol down your esophagus, like it over time, you know, so the more I learned, the more I was like, wow, this isn't totally me. This is highly addictive. It's a poison. And so I recommend anyone who's like wants to quit and, you know, first of all, follow your gut instinct. If you feel it's a problem, then it is. Don't listen to Susie down the street that tells you that it's normal because everybody's doing it.
Yeah, because she just wants to drink with you.
Right.
She just wants a partner in drinking.
Exactly.
That's Susie.
But I say start with reading and learning about it. That's where I started. And that was a game changer for me, reading different books.
Yeah. What was your favorite book other than We Are the Luckiest by Laura McCowan, which we talk about on here a lot? But what was one that like really changed it for you?
I would say Quit Like a Woman. I really liked how she talked about how women are sort of targeted by big alcohol companies. And I was like, wow, like I was pissed. Like when I read some of it, I'm like, that is so, we're totally being targeted. And, and how we think we're this like health conscious generation of people. We yoga, so cycle, we keto juice cleanse, and we're drinking effing rocket fuel. And I was like, that is me. I thought I was so healthy. And I was, except for that. So I loved Quit Like a Woman. And This Naked Mind was super helpful too, to get the science kind of behind it and the cravings. And after we have one drink and we said we're only going to have one, why do we end up thinking it's a great idea to have more than that? Yeah. And learning the science behind it was very interesting.
I feel like you and I had such similar journeys to sobriety. I stopped January 2020 after a brutal hangover, and I didn't go to meetings or anything. The word alcoholic freaked me out, and I was like, well, I'm not that, whatever that is. I don't know. I still don't know, and I still haven't answered that question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just started listening to audiobooks like This Naked Mind, Quit Like a Woman, We Are the Luckiest, Blackout is a really good one. Like, just I unbrainwashed myself.
Yes, exactly.
I couldn't look at it the same again.
Totally. That's exactly what I feel like. And the same thing for me, like I don't consider myself an alcoholic, but I do feel like after researching and learning that I definitely had alcohol use disorder, I feel like that connected with me and it kind of helped me to realize, you know, it's a scale, you know, like yeah. in the whole gray area drinking. And I think it holds people back from getting the help that they need because they don't think that, you know, that their rock bottom isn't what you think it is. So it, therefore people aren't getting help. So but when I learned alcohol use disorder and looked it up and researched it, I was like, that's me, you know, like I'm still doing all right in life. On the outside, I look good. I didn't lose my job. Like I actually was highly performing in my job. I didn't get a DUI ever. Thank God.
I know. That's why I always say just by the grace of God, like, I don't know how I did it. Yeah, exactly.
But it was completely affecting my mental health 100%. And that when I went to go stop, I couldn't. And so yeah. therefore I use that term and I think it's helpful for people.
And that's such a good reminder just to find what's helpful for you and what makes you feel strong in your sobriety. And like, it sounds like you're such a researcher and you like knowledge, like, and you're using like all of these resources and tools, which is so cool. Like you're like, I'm going to use the health coach for this. I'm going to use the pill to help me stop my cravings. I'm going to use this church group. You know, like that's so cool. You just created your own program.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And now that's, yeah. I'm just trying to help others, like share what has worked for me. And yeah. I feel like it's working for a lot of women that I work with or that come to my meetings. And I've been doing one-on-one coaching and I've had several people re-sign up again to work with me. And so that's yeah. really validating that I'm like, okay, this is my calling now. I feel like
you could tell you're doing the right thing and you're in the right place because like you guys go to her Instagram, Soba Sistas, which is just so cute. I'm telling you, I love that name because yeah, your message is just, it's so inspiring. And we need people like you creating different programs. You know, we need something other than AA. It's not a binary question. It's not, do you have a problem with alcohol? If yes, proceed to AA. If no, keep drinking. Like, that's not what it is. It's alcohol is highly addictive and it's really fucking bad.
Right.
And like, so drink it long enough. Yeah, it's going to become a problem. And you don't have to wait until it is.
Right. You don't wait. Yeah. And, you know, we're in 2022. So we're lucky that there's so many options yes. and different things available than there was even 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Totally.
Like, you know, there wasn't really sober coaches. There wasn't Zooms.
Yeah.
There wasn't all these women's groups.
That's the thing. Like women, sober women are taking over the world, you guys. Mm-hmm. We are. We're taking over. So watch out. That's what I love, that we just create what we needed.
Basically, yeah. And I think I noticed too, I had met up with some girls in New York that were all sober and I hadn't really been out with women that were sober and
yeah.
in person. And, I noticed a difference though. Our conversations were so different than my drinking friends, where we yes. would just either sit around and bitch or, you know, talk or gossip maybe yeah. about, oh, so-and-so in town. This group of women, we were talking about our goals and like just things that we're doing in yes. life. And I'm like, gosh, this is so much better. You're like,
oh yeah. It's like a little therapy session. Like I have a group of sober moms just right in my community and we meet every couple of weeks. And it's like, we just talk about the real stuff. We talk about our struggles. It doesn't have to be sobriety. A lot of times it is, just because like I get to talk about sobriety all the time on here, but in normal life, people don't get to just talk about sobriety, you know?
Right.
And so finding that group of people that you can just talk about the challenges and the wins and the all about sobriety, it's so good.
Yeah, because they get it, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I can share this
yeah.
with you because you know how difficult it can be sometimes. And
yeah, for sure. Oh, I could talk to you forever. Okay, tell us where we can find you so they can go look at your Instagram and then sign up for coaching and the Zoom calls. You have so much. Okay.
Yeah. So, yep, you can find me at Soba Sistas. My website is sobasistas.com. Send me a DM, say hi, say that you listen to this podcast. I'd love to hear your feedback and I'll give you the information to come to my free meetings and you can join our free WhatsApp group and all of that. And it's a game changer. So if you've been struggling or you're sober already, but you're kind of miserable, this will change that. So
sounds like a great community.
Yeah.
Oh, Megan, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll keep in touch.
Okay, for sure. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sober Mom Life. If you loved it, please rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars is amazing. Also, follow me on Instagram at The Sober Mom Life. Okay, I'll see you next week. I'm going to go reheat my coffee. Bye.
Why are we doing an ad again?
So that we can tell people about brand new information, a pop culture and political podcast.
Say it in a way that doesn't sound like game show host.
Okay. Do you want to be in a room of overeducated douchebags and feel comfortable? Brand new information is for you.
What's it going to take to put you in this podcast today? We have brand new information on sale for free.
Free.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We might not break the political and pop culture news of the week,
but we put it right back together for you.
That's right. Listen wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
I'm Madeline, and I'm the host of the Happiest Sober podcast. I got sober in my 20s after a decade of gray area drinking, and the greatest plot twist of all time was realizing that alcohol, the thing that I thought made my life the most happy and fun and exciting, was actually the exact thing preventing me from living my happiest and best life. My mom is 40 years sober, and she joins me on my podcast very often. I like to call her my part-time co-host, and I also bring you solo episodes where I share my top tips, tricks, and mindset shifts in sobriety, and lots of how-tos for navigating all the things sober, from weddings to parties to holidays to bachelorette parties to trips. I'm also joined by so many guests who come on and share their sober stories, and they're all so, so inspiring. I'm here to show you that life doesn't end when you quit drinking. In fact, it's very much the opposite. And no matter what your relationship was with alcohol, life can be the absolute happiest when you're sober. New episodes come out every Tuesday. You can listen to Happiest Sober podcast wherever you get your podcasts.